Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks, where Matt in the Southland mocks, belittles, and jeers at my Bob from the Cascadia's list of movies he liked this year. That's right. I've got my top 10 list for 2024. I saw about 40 films in 2024, and these are my favorite 10.
Bob, you saw 40 new films in 2024.
Less than one a week. So honestly, I'm not doing good.
How many films have you watched in total, do you think, this year? Not new, just in total.
In total, probably around 200 or 300. I'd have to go back on Letterboxd and check.
Good Lord. Okay. That's so much.
It averages out to one a day.
Yeah, just one a day. No big deal. Brain rot.
If this will disgust you, but like 10 years ago, when I had a girlfriend who studied film and I worked at a movie theater and I had a pass, I would tend to see more like 80 new movies a year.
Oh, wow.
Although also that was back, they made 10 years ago, they made a lot more films than they do now. Like there were a lot, I feel like there were a lot more mid-budget films to go see. That's less the case now. So 40 films is actually high for me in the last few years. In the last few years, I've been more in the 25 to 35 range just because there hasn't been that much stuff I've wanted to see. So for whatever year, 2024 felt like a pretty good year to me. Now, granted, Hollywood's still in terrible shape and it's still putting out a lot less good stuff than it did even 10 years ago.
They're putting a lot of fires right now, Bob. I went through a list of movies that were dropped this year and I can only come up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that I watched.
Films would be funnier coming after my 10, right?
For sure, Bob. I'm not gonna drop my films till after yours because yours are a little more intense.
All right. Well, we'll walk through them and we'll see if Matt will want to watch any of them.
Okay. Here we go.
So number 10, Late Night with the Devil. It's a nasty little horror film. It's a demonic possession film, but it's a demonic possession happening on a late 70s late night talk show. And basically the movie just feels like you're watching in a single episode because, I mean, that's how it's set up, of a late 70s late night talk show. Really good horror movie. And I think it will tweak your nostalgia for Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Oh, okay. That actually sounds fun. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a unique horror premise.
It's a good little movie. It's a good little movie. I think it actually came out in 2023 or 2022, but I couldn't get it at streaming until this year. So to me, that counts as this year.
All right, Bob, the next film on your list, I'm a little skeptical of. Just tell me about this one.
All right, so this is the director, Ty West. He's a director I sometimes like and sometimes am really unimpressed by. He's mostly does horror stuff. Lately, he's been doing a slasher trilogy. He did X, which came out a couple years ago. Pearl came out a couple years ago. And this is Maxine with triple X's capitalized in the middle of Maxine. And they're all meditations on the film industry. X is very much set in Texas. It's very much a 70s grindhouse movie, like would come out in the 70s. Pearl is a prequel that's set in the earliest days of film in America in the 1910s, also in Texas. And then Maxine is this very trashy 80s Hollywood giallo flick, sex workers and serial killers. I really, really like this one. My movie wife really, really liked this one. It's really got a lot of style. It's really pretty. And it's got an amazing cast. Mia Goth is the lead. She's also the lead ex. She does a great job. Liz DeBecky's really good in it. Michelle Monaghan is really good in it. Bobby Cannavale, Giancarlo Esposito, and Kevin Bacon. It plays a sleazy PI. I really liked Maxine.
I don't think I'll be watching this one, Bob, but I'll take your word for it.
I like it because... Is it because of the porn or because of the slasher or what?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be my cup of tea. I like Kevin Bacon to some degree, but I'm just not into the whole slasher, that piece, and not my cup of tea. Maybe a little too trashy.
It's one of the things they invented film for, Matt, so you can watch attractive young women getting chopped up by sickos with knives. That's one of the purposes of film.
Yeah. Okay, Bob. Number 8.
Also a horror film. This one's Nosferatu. Surely you've seen the ads for this one, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the ads for this plenty of times, yeah.
Maxine and Late Night with the Devil are new to you, I assume?
Yeah, I had vaguely heard of Maxine. Never heard of Late Night with the Devil.
Nosferatu. It's the fourth film from Robert Eggers. You may know him from such masterpieces as The Northman, The Vivitch, or The Witch, and, oh man, the Lighthouse movie that's really good, whose name is escaping me. That's embarrassing. But anyway, this is Eggers' fourth film. Honestly, it's probably his worst film, but it's still a very good film. It's still very pretty. It's a remake of Nosferatu, the famous German silent film, which is just an uncredited ripoff of Dracula. So it's basically a Dracula movie.
Because this is how they got around the whole copyright thing and they call him something different.
Exactly. Yeah. He's Count Orlok. You remember Bram Stoker's Dracula from the early 90s, right?
Yeah.
The way the Skarsgård who plays Nosferatu or Count Orlok is actually, in some ways, it's very reminiscent of Gary Oldman and Bram Stoker's Dracula as Dracula.
Oh, and that was good too.
Like Bram Stoker's Dracula, this is a really pretty movie, a lot of great detail, a lot of cool shots. Just really loved it. Do you know what the major problem I had with this movie is?
I'm going to assume it's one of the actresses or actors.
Yeah, and it's not even that she's bad. It's just, it's strange. So the leading actress is Johnny Depp's daughter, and it's just very strange. She's not bad. She's a good actress, but just very strange to watch Johnny Depp's daughter.
Does she look like Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Oh.
She's also very attractive, and yet she also looks like her father.
So you're kind of like, you feel like you're attracted to Johnny Depp.
Indeed.
Which, I mean, he's an attractive man. I'm not saying.
In the 2000s, I was very attracted to Johnny Depp. In the 2020s, it's a little bit of a different proposition, you know?
It just depends. Bob's more of a Jack Sparrow type.
Exactly. I will say this other film did not make my top 10 list because it's not that good, but it was fun. And I watched Nosferatu the way it should be watched, which is to say I and my friends did it as a double feature with Baby Girl, the Nicole Kidman discovers S&M. And that was the correct way to watch both films. So I would say you should watch Nosferatu, you specifically, Matt. And I know you won't follow this advice, but one listening to this podcast who has not watched Nosferatu, I would say you should watch it in the correct way, which is double feature.
Okay, Bob, Baby Girl, is that film worth watching?
It's good. It's fascinating. It just doesn't belong on a best of the best.
Gotcha. Okay. I just want to make sure. I saw the ads for that one. I was, it looks a little bit like that stupid movie that came out a while back. It's that book that everybody liked, 50 Shades of Grey, 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It is that. It is that. Very much okay. So. It's that, but done by a competent director.
And then you go watch Nosferatu after.
We did Nosferatu.
Cleanse your palate. Oh, you did it first?
Yeah. But that was more of a strategic issue about like maximizing how, you know, we wanted to get out earlier. And so it worked out better. It worked out more efficient to go to Nosferatu first. It wasn't a thematic calculation.
About to cleanse your palate between or something. Or no. Okay.
I do want to quote on Baby Doll, one of my favorite Letterboxd reviews of it, which says something to the effect of, it's insane that Zoomers have their own version of Eyes Wide Shut 20 years after Eyes Wide Shut, and that it also stars Nicole Kidman.
That is freaky. Wow.
Isn't it, though?
That is so freaky.
All right. Ugh. Number 7 is the kind of film recommendation that Matt will like to mock me about. It's called Beast. It's an amazing French science fiction film about reincarnation. The French are really good about making like time travel love movies. The Jetty, which I've made Matt watch, and I love
The Jetty.
Yeah, yeah. Are the two great examples. But Léa Seydoux, or as I know her, French ScarJo, is in this film. She's incredible. A fascist podcaster lady I sort of like, even though I don't like fascists. She's in it in a supporting role, and she's very good. And then this film is also a loose adaptation of one of my favorite novellas by Henry James called The Beast in the Jungle. And it gets me on, I like French ScarJo. I like time travel when done by the French. I like Henry James. I really love this movie. I was thinking about teaching it for my science fiction and my American lit classes, and I was stoked. However, one of the incarnations has the male lover as an incel in L.A. about to do like an Elliot Rodgers style mass murder. And honestly, I just don't want to read student writing about that. So I'm sadly never going to teach this film.
Bob, I like how you set your own destiny sometimes. I don't want to read that, so I'm not going to let them. Even though I know that there's a chance that none of them will write anything about that, I just don't want to. So I'll only make them watch the film. Your reasoning that you went that far out, your reasoning is that complex.
Look, Matt, I don't want to give my students bad grades. And part of that is not giving my students text to write about that I know if they do write about, it will infuriate me.
Gotcha. But you give them the grades, but you want it to be a legit grade. You don't want to just give them an A, even though.
That's the fun thing about teaching on the college level is like the text selection process. Can really be doing 3D chess.
Yeah, it's cool. It's not like that at the lower level. They just give you what they tell. They give you books they'll give you books and they'll take them away from you. Like, sorry, I know we gave you that book in the library, but it's got some bad stuff in it. We're taking it away. Okay. They weren't reading it anyway. If those kids could read, they'd be offended.
Matt, my sixth entry is a movie I actually think you would watch, but I know there's no chance in the world you would ever watch it.
Yeah, you want to why, Bob? Because I see the runtime right there.
Yeah. It's a 2-hour and 45-minute Romanian film. It's a comedy. It's called Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World. It's excruciating to watch and really, really boring and repetitive at first, but it really grows on you. I honestly feel like it maybe is the best film I've ever seen at giving you a sense of what it feels like to be alive in the 2020s. It really gets how peculiarly weird and screwed up and harried, but also occasionally weirdly luxurious life in the 2020s is. Do you know who Andrew Tate or Cobra Tate is, Matt?
Yes, I know who this person is, yes.
So he was like doing his, I don't even think I have to say alleged. I think it was proved in a court of law. So I think I can just say he was doing his sex trafficking in Romania. So there's a woman who's the lead in this. She plays a production assistant on a film. And she's had this job that makes her work crazy hours. It's unfulfilling. It's stupid. The film is stupid. But her artistic outlet is that as she's driving around Bucharest, the capital of Romania, she'll get out of the car and she'll film these quick TikToks where she puts like an Andrew Tate face over her face in TikTok. And she goes on these insane, misogynistic, racist rants, Andrew Tate style. And it's hilarious. It's so funny. It also, the end of the film is literally just a 30-minute still shot. Like the camera is shooting the same thing that the film crew in the film is shooting if they're shooting a workplace safety video. And I'm not even going to describe it because there's too many layers to it. It wouldn't come across as well me talking about it, but it's a 30-minute constant shot of people just coming in and out of the frame, people arguing in the frame. And it's astonishing. It's some of the best filmmaking I've ever seen.
This movie is two hours and 45 minutes long, and there's a 30-minute still shot at the end.
Yep.
And it's in French, right?
No, it's in Romanian.
Next.
Next is the Chilean Western. It's really brutal. It triggered a lot of people on Letterboxd. That was amusing. It's called Settlers. I really was enamored by it. It's Blood Meridian for South America.
Oh, okay. What about number four, Bob?
Kinds of Kindness. Did you see this one advertised? Did you hear about this one, Matt?
No, I've not seen it. I'm looking at it's got Emma Stone in it, Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe. I don't remember seeing anything for this.
So it's by a Greek filmmaker, but he's been working in English for quite a few features. He's the one who did Poor Things, which was pretty controversial from last year. But he also did The Lobster. I don't know if you saw that one. But no. Yorgos Lanthimos is the Greek filmmaker. This is an anthology film. It's sort of science fiction, but only a little. It's very strange film. You ran down the cast, Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, and Margaret Qualley. They're all really great in it. I really had a good time watching Kinds of Kindness.
It's got a solid cast.
Willem Dafoe's all over my list. He was a creepy mentor figure in Nosferatu as well.
Yeah, dude's everywhere. I love Willem Dafoe. All right, Bob, number three. We're in your top three here. So this is the great stuff, right? This is the cream of the crop, right?
Yeah, this is all great. Okay. Did you see this one advertised, Anora? It's about a Russian sex worker who gets into a romance with the son of like a Russian oligarch family in New York and Vegas.
No, Bob, I can't say I've seen this one advertised. Where are you seeing these things advertised?
I go to the theater.
Okay. So you're seeing the previews, which I never go to the theater, so I don't see the previews, and I don't see the posters too, I'm sure.
I don't watch TV, except for streaming, so I don't really get ads, but I would assume there might be some ads for Kinds of Kindness and Anora.
I get streaming with ads, and I've never heard of either of these films.
Okay. So Sean Baker's the guy.
That's what Bob's like. I'm going to tell you about it now. Go for it.
Sean Baker directed it. He does basically handheld short films that are about sex workers. Tangerine was a really good one. Florida Project was a pretty good one. Florida Project won a bunch of Oscars a few years ago. Yeah, basically, that's what I said. It's a stripper and the son of a Russian oligarch. It's romance. It's also this movie about class, and the stripper naively at first thinks that she actually can successfully marry this guy and move up in class. Yeah, but it's also really funny. It's a crime movie too, in a weird way. Mickey Madsen plays the stripper. She's absolutely incredible in it. It's a really beautiful movie.
Number two, Bob.
My number one and number two are both, I guess, what you could call lesbian road film period pieces. Lesbian is from the 1980s. It's by an English director named Rose Glass. She did a horror film called Saint Maud that I really liked. And this is Kristen Stewart.
I've heard of this one. This one I've heard of.
Yeah. And did you ever see Pain and Gain with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock?
No, I've never seen that.
That's a really good movie that came out maybe 15 years ago with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock as like dumb muscle heads who turn to crime. Love Lies Bleeding is basically the lesbian version of that, but it's better than Pain and Gain, but both are really good movies.
This one I've actually heard of, so I felt better about that one.
And then number one is Drive Away Dolls. It also has Margaret Qualley in it. It's one of the Coen brothers, not both of the Coen brothers, who did The Big Lebowski, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
It's the younger one, Ethan. He directs it. It's his first solo film. And he says it's going to be the first of a lesbian B-movie trilogy he's doing with Margaret Qualley. I'm excited about that. And it also has a big Henry James motif in it. So that was a nice callback to The Beast, one of my other favorite films this year. So yeah, I really like Drive Away Dolls. It's really funny. I could see you thinking Anora is too slow and Kinds of Kindness are too slow, but you would really enjoy both Love Lies Bleeding and Drive Away Dolls if you watched them.
Okay. Yeah, I might give those a shot because I actually heard of Love Lies Bleeding. I haven't heard of Drive Away Dolls yet, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a...
Yeah, and they both came out like super early 2024.
So of this list, Bob, I am most likely, if I was going to watch one of these films, I would most likely watch your number 10, Late Night with the Devil, because I think that sounds fascinating. I would probably watch Nosferatu. I most likely will watch it. And also I will watch it. I'll probably watch Baby Girl when it drops on streaming.
There's probably no way in the world that you're going to enjoy Baby Doll, but if you, or Baby Girl. But if you do, Baby Doll is a very different 1950s movie.
Yeah, that's so different.
If you do watch Baby Girl, I will be fascinated to know your take.
Okay. Because that seems like something I might watch with my wife just because it's got Nicole Kidman and stuff. Do you suggest a couple watching that film? You watched it with friends, right? Well, she's read like 50 Shades of Grey, so.
Oh, then she's probably fine.
Okay, that's what I want.
Some things I feel like I can recommend
right.
You watch or you and the wife watch, but I don't feel like I know enough about your wife's taste.
That makes sense.
Or not, baby yeah. Girl.
I may watch.
Yeah, you'd have fun with Maxine too, and you definitely don't need to watch the first two movies in the trilogy.
Okay. Well, Bob, I'm going to give you a list of three of these films I watched in theaters. The other three I watched on my home theater. The first film that I watched, I actually did not watch this in theater, surprisingly. I watched it at home because it dropped so quickly on streaming. It was Beetlejuice.
Wow, that's already on streaming? Didn't it just come out in November?
Yeah, Bob, it dropped like super quick. It was within a month. Anyway, I watched that film. Wow. It's a legacy. It's a sequel. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I love Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. I'll watch anything with Michael Keaton in it. I like Tim Burton. It was just a big nostalgia shot.
Did Tim Burton direct that?
He was part of it, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure.
He did. This is funny. Let me say this. It's his return to the director's chair after last directing Dumbo in 2018.
So there you go, Bob. Then I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in theater.
Yeah, that was one of them I knew you'd seen in theaters.
Yeah. I watched Deadpool versus Wolverine in theater with my wife.
Yeah, we did an episode about it.
I watched Wicked with my wife in theater. And then, Bob, I was awfully sick. And I ended up watching Watchmen Chapter 1 because I think I just started it and couldn't find the energy to turn it off.
That's disgusting, but at least you didn't watch Chapter 2 and Chapter 3, which I believe are also out now.
Yeah, and then the movie I watched at the end of the year, Bob, which was actually a pretty good, it's literally just Die Hard 2. It's called Carry On. It was on older movies I've watched. Recently, I watched Inland Empire for the first time all the way through.
Man, that's a great
movie. I made it. I made it through, and I was proud of myself.
It's a challenge. Did I ever tell you my story about seeing Inland Empire in theaters?
No.
I went with a bunch of friends, and at the end of it, one of our friends, smart guy, archaeologist, but was just not really that into movies and was just utterly baffled by what he'd seen. And so I and my friend Gray just gave him a 5-minute plot summary. He's like, that sounds so simple and straightforward. How did you get that? And it's just like, we've seen Mulholland Drive.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what's so great about his work. And man, I know we haven't mentioned it yet, but David Lynch passed this week as a recording. It's awful. I mean, I was emotional. I usually don't get emotional about people passing. I'm like, I don't know him. Man, I've watched all his work and I've seen him. And I was not expecting another season of Twin Peaks because I think that would be crazy. But at the same time, I'm like, there's always that possibility. But no, it's not happening ever. So listeners, they are doing a meditation in honor of David Lynch. They are doing a meditation in honor of David Lynch on Monday at noon, your time, Seattle time. So 3 o'clock my time.
3 o'clock your time.
So everyone's going to stop and meditate for 10 minutes in honor of David Lynch.
Aw, that's sweet. R.I.P. David Lynch. Yeah, I think I actually hadn't known how sick he was until the announcement about his death came out. But I think I had already accepted that there weren't going to be any more major projects.
Right.
What can you say, man? The man's legacy is incredible.
He's pretty much
still exists in 100 years. People will still be talking about him in 100, 200, 300 years.
Yeah, he cemented his legacy. He's good.
Sad note. So 2024, some dark moments, but there were some good films. Matt had fun at Carry On.
Fuck you.
This has been Uncanny Tricks. I'm Bob and Kat Skidia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.